Our main aim is to kind of educate the public on the sharks. So to promote the white shark, to get away from all those misconceptions, you know, that white sharks are mindless killers and that you should fear them. So we take tourists and volunteers alike onto the boat, educate them about the sharks, show the sharks in the natural environment, out in the wild.
That's Julia Broska, volunteer coordinator from the White Shark Project, based in South Africa. Recently, I joined the project for 2 weeks as a volunteer, getting close and personal with one of the most feared and misunderstood animals, the great white shark. The White Shark Project runs a cage diving tourism operation, one of eight in the small town of Kleinbaai, a couple of hours northeast of Cape Town. What makes this company different is that it takes on volunteers as well as tourists and runs a number of community programs in the local township. In this radio program, you'll hear from staff, crew, and volunteers who are all passionate about the conservation of one of the less cuddlier creatures of the sea. Let's hear from skipper Grant Tuckett, who's been with the White Shark Project for 10 years. He believes that tourism can be of great benefit to shark conservation.
Well, if it's done properly, if the sharks are handled respectfully, and if the companies running the trips are ethical about and put a bit of effort in, you can really change the perception of people's minds about these animals. You really can. I think people are a lot more educated than when I first started here, but there's still a hell of a lot of ignorance about the great white shark. Not ignorance, is people are stupid, but they just don't know. I feel our main objective is to change that point of view. And I've never had anyone come on the boat and leave really negative about the sharks or the industry. You know, surfers that are so against us, and they all leave with a completely different perception. People who are almost have a phobia of sharks, who didn't even want to get in the cage, are so scared of them, leave with a different view. So you can make a big difference. It is very important. Apart from being an industry for the local populace, for the great white itself, I think it's actually quite essential for their survival.
During my fortnight with the White Shark Project, there were 12 other volunteers from eight different countries. Our reasons for being there may have all been slightly different, but the one thing we had in common was our love of sharks.
My name is Enzo Quatera, and I'm actually a South African citizen. I stay up in Johannesburg, and the main reason why I've come down all the way here to do a bit of volunteer work is it was my 21st birthday not too long ago, and I thought it would be a really cool idea to do something different. So instead of having the traditional 21st birthday bash and that kind of thing, I thought I'd rather take that money and go and do volunteer work down on the coast. And it's a cool idea to actually leave your mark somewhere and be somewhere far away from home with nobody else and complete strangers. I thought that would be a really nice way to learn a lot about yourself.
My name's George, I'm from the UK. I decided to volunteer basically because for the last 10 years I've been working in an office job. I've decided to take a break from it. So part of the 6 months I decided I wanted to do something to do with diving with sharks. I've always loved sharks. Wanted to do something where I could feel like not only was I going to get to see them and experience them, but also give a little something back.
I'm Danielle, I'm from California. I came out to volunteer because I'm an aspiring marine biologist who would like to work in the shark biology field. So I decided to volunteer so that I could be out here for a longer period of time and get comfortable with these animals, meeting people who are also in the shark biology field, trying to get my name out there.
My name is Patrick. I'm from Holland. I'm going to be here for 3 weeks. Being a tourist, it seems you feel useless. By volunteering, you're helping sharks and everything. It feels better.
I'm Leslie. I'm from Switzerland, and I'm here now for 1 month with White Shark Project. I'm here just to get more information about the sharks. I'm quite interested in the sea, and I'm diving since I'm 11 years old. I like working on a boat. I'm a dive master already, so I know how to work with tourists, and I work as a guide. So it's for me a kind of a getting more experience about working, but in a different kind of area with sharks. So it's actually really nice getting hands-on and not only watching.
I've done a lot of holidays in my life, and I'd like to be more active and feel more a part of it. And mankind is, fighting with the sharks, destroying their environment, and making it difficult for them to succeed as a species. Wanted to be part of, you know, they don't have that many people fighting for them. So I wanted to be part of the solution to their longevity.
Collectively, we had little experience with boats, tourism, or sharks, which led me to ask volunteer coordinator Julia why they use the volunteer model.
We look at it as the fact we've got our crew. Our crew can do their job, and our volunteers are here to assist in any way, shape, or form that they want to. And our crew enjoy having the volunteers. While sometimes it might take a little bit of time to show people what to do, for the most part, it's an extra pair of hands getting to know people from all over the world, which the guys on the boat love. It just adds a different dimension to the boat. There's a lot more camaraderie working together, you know, as a team, having the volunteers on board the boat. It does give the guys as well a break because you have got an extra pair of hands, so they can also sometimes enjoy the sharks. So for us, we enjoy having the volunteers. Also getting to see your reactions to the sharks, and because you already come with that passion and that love for them, and then to see you all see them for the first time.
Julia's right. It is all about the sharks. Seeing the sharks, getting in the water with the sharks, and learning more so that you can understand their place in the ecosystem. But before we can meet them, there's work to be done. The boat needs to be prepared, as does the chum, as crew member B describes.
You see here what I'm doing? We're using these fish. Those, they call them tuna fish. We took those fish through inside this black bucket. We put the fish inside, and then we take the spade and we smash that fish. We chop it into small pieces. Yeah? After we finish, we took the fish oil, we pour, and then we pour some water. And then we go out and get some nice sharks there at the sea.
Just can't explain the smell for radio.
Oh, it just got a nice smell, nice smell. Some of our clients, they get sick because of this smell. Yeah, and this smell is very important to the sharks, because if we don't have this, we won't find the sharks at the sea. So we have to do this every day so that we can attract the sharks and come out and have some fun.
Meanwhile, back at the White Shark Project Lodge, Skipper Grant is giving the clients who are about to go out to sea a briefing on the animals.
So every time we go out there, it's a little bit like opening a lucky package. You just don't know what you're going to get. Okay, there could be 2 sharks at the island, there could be 20. But this is a good time of year to come, and as I said, we have been very lucky. And it is a huge privilege, even if you just get to see 1 or 2 of these animals. And they are on the top 10 list of species to become extinct on this planet. The great white is probably one of the only apex predators on this planet that the man hasn't been able to control. Now, they have tried numerous times, even with young small ones. They put them in huge aquariums, big holding pens in the ocean. And so far, every single time, the shark has either died or they've had to let it go. So you've got to realize, whatever we are working with out there is a completely free animal. So whether it comes to the boat, how long it stays, what it does while it's there, it's up to that shark.
So let's go out to sea, to a stretch of water near Dyer Island, where great white sharks feed from an abundant seal population during the winter months.
Apparently the swells are over 4 metres, but the wind is better, so it shouldn't be quite so rough today. This harbour is apparently one of the most difficult to navigate in Africa, because it wasn't built for boats the size of the cage diving boat, so it's a bit of an adventure just getting through the slipway, but we'll see how we go.
How rough would you describe it, Dawn?
I feel like I'm riding a bucking bronco. Yep.
It's rough. How are you feeling, Karen? Why are we doing this?
Fifteen minutes later, we're laying down anchor and there's a new set of tasks to be done. Taking note of our location and the conditions, helping clients into their wetsuits and comforting those who are seasick, which is best addressed with some fresh air and a lollipop. All the while, the crew are preparing the cage and chumming the waters in the hope of attracting sharks already in the local area.
We've got 7.5 visibility. I'm going to get out of this room.
So we've got the water temperature, we've got the depth, we've got the coordinates, we've got the visibility.
You just brought me 3 lollipops and 3 bottles of water, please.
Don, can you give me? Yeah, the same lollipop.
Yep. You need one?
Yeah. there, please.
So maybe, India, tell me what your favourite part of the job is. Apart from
getting
sharks.
In the cage. I'm also very much for the clientele and looking after clients and that kind of thing. It's really, really interesting when you meet a lot of new people and you get to see people sort of their reaction to the sharks the very first time. Like, that's always really, really interesting for me.
What do you like most about the sharks?
It's just that every day is different. And they are very different themselves as a shark species to any other type of shark species. With the spy hopping, the gaping, the boldness around the boat, the inquisitiveness. Some of them look quite feisty. In this whole time, I've only ever seen one shark that I'd have classed as aggressive. They do have different temperaments and personalities and characteristics of their own, like dogs. I relate a lot of their behaviour to dog-like behaviour. The way they are around each other at the boat, the way they chase the bait.
Hey guys, just
keep
your head a little bit lower. Put your hands on the bars above your head. And then put your feet on the front of the cage anywhere and push back. Anyway, guys, just stay down as long as you can and look around. Right, now guys, you're going to have a couple of practices, okay? Are you ready for a practice? Okay, one, two, three, red bar and down you go. Red bar, down, 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 down. Look around, left, right, behind you, underneath you, everywhere.
All right, down, all
down,
right,
down, 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 down.
Yay!
You guys see the shark?
Can you describe the sharks and I guess what it felt like the first time?
I mean, it's incredible. It's just amazing to see how graceful they are, how curious they are. The people that work here have told us they truly do. Each one's got its own personality. So just seeing the different personalities of the different sharks, it just takes your breath away to see it for the first time.
That's volunteer Corey, and he couldn't describe it any better. Finding yourself face to face with the great white shark is an exhilarating experience, one that certainly helps you gain some perspective of their power and grace. This is one of the main objectives of the White Shark Project, to overcome prejudice to better protect the species. But there's a more technical or scientific aspect to the project as well, as volunteer coordinator Julia explains.
We collect data on the boat. All of the boats in the area have to collect basic data. Size of the sharks, sex of the sharks, number of sharks seen. And all of that information gets logged in a logbook and sent through to Marine Coastal Management. They're the people that patrol the area and issue the permits and regulate everything. So we collect that data. So that goes towards their research so they can see how many sharks are being seen and sighted in the area by everybody. We also collect more data because we've got our volunteers. So we've got extra hands and eyes on the boat. So as well as those basic elements, we also look at behaviour. We also can log down all the different scars and markings of the sharks, take some dorsal fin pictures so that we can maybe identify the sharks. All that information gets inputted onto the computer. So our data that we collect is there to be shared with the other scientists in the area that need it.
New shark, tags.
This one is new, number five.
Shark 5 took the bait. It is lighter in color, has a tag on the dorsal fin. We have 7, shark 7, it is light in color, it is small, maybe 2.5.
The White Shark Project distinguishes itself not only by offering a volunteer experience and providing rich data on the sharks, but through the community work that it does.
We've got our swap shop in the local township of Masakane, where basically we educate the children on recycling, and they come and bring their recycling, exchange it for points, and they can get things for school or toys that we rely on donations from volunteers or from the public to kind of fund that, and then we give them a cup of hot soup. We also work with some of the schools, taking the children out on day trips, letting the children come down out to sea on the boats. We work within the community of Transpai, kind of helping promote to the children about the environment, not just, you know, marine life itself. We also work with a couple of local people, helping them to kind of start their own business as well. There's a place in the harbour, Nat's Place, that we funded for them so that they could set up their own little business of making and selling things. It's not necessarily just shark specific, it's kind of community, social as well, which makes us then a little bit different from everybody else.
The cage diving industry may collect valuable data and expose the general public to a more realistic perspective of the great white shark's nature, but not everyone is a supporter of the industry. Opponents say it encourages sharks to associate humans with food, and it's attracting more dangerous species closer to shore. While there's not enough time here to explore the debate in full, I did ask Skipper Grant for his opinion.
I don't think it'll ever stop. It is human nature. If you've got someone to blame, you're going to do it. If you go to a game farm and you get out of your Land Rover and you see a lion and you don't get back into your Land Rover and it eats you, you're just stupid. But if you go swimming in an ocean in an area where you've been told that there's white sharks there, it's the cage diver's fault, you know. Since I've been here, it's always been a big issue. I don't think it'll ever go away. It has been studied in depth. There have been a lot of papers published about it. And even now, all the research, everything that's happening is completely against what people say is happening. You know, they think that we attract the shark in. But if you logically look at all the pointers, I mean, their main thing is we're conditioning them to see humans and receive food. It's exceptionally rare, particularly off our boat, that the shark gets any food. And if it does, it's like a cheese biscuit to a great white. It won't sustain them. It's not enough food for them. And also, the shark sees the boat as the lion in the game farm sees the 4x4. It's one object. And if they do come in close and they see that there's movement in the cage and they can pick up the electrical senses and the heartbeat from the muscles and things like that, it's still not going to relate to a surfer swimming on the beaches. Another one of their points is we attract the sharks inshore. We have to go where the shark naturally goes. Our chum line, if we're really lucky, is effective from about 500 metres to a kilometre. So you have to get really close to where the sharks are. And if you go back and you speak to all the fishermen over history, they've always been in these areas, these little hot spots. We're seeing them more. And obviously they're protected along this coastline, so there should be more of them. And if you go to sea and you look at the chum lines coming off these big fishing boats, I mean, it's quite horrific to see all the blood pouring off these boats. That's a chum line that we can't match, you know. But it is sad when there is an attack, and it is just, it's human nature. If somebody can point a finger at something, it'll happen. You know, you've got to take a little bit of responsibility yourself.
And with that, we head back to shore, tired yet exhilarated and looking forward to the next trip out. Volunteering with the White Shark Project was definitely more than just ticking off a bucket list item. I feel more qualified to argue in defence of this shark, especially in light of recent legislative changes in Western Australia that are allowing them now to be culled. I also feel a little more confident and definitely ready to go back and do it all over again.